pray together and ask God by His Spirit to be here with us. If you would join me in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for everyone that's here today. And I pray, Lord, that You would open the windows of heaven and You would pour out Your blessing on us, Lord, because we need that blessing. We have heard and we've received Your blessings in the past, but we need a fresh blessing today from You. We are Your children. You are a Father and You love us. You care for us. And You want our souls to receive nourishment. You want us to be reminded who we are in You and to what our purpose is on this earth. We heard things this morning that we were discussing about helping the poor. And Lord, I believe those things are important, Father. And our very purpose and mission in this life is we don't want to miss it. We only live this life one time. And we want to fulfill that which You have called us to. So be with us today. Bless us in a mighty way, Lord. Help me not to have any fleshly thing in the way, Lord, but just to be a vessel, a channel for the glory of God. That is truly my heart's desire. God, I ask You these things all in the wonderful and the glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I realize that in events that have unfolded in the country here in recent weeks maybe has been disheartening for many. I understand that. I found myself, in my own personal walk, I found myself frustrated. I found myself in a way that, you know, I was listening to a lot of voices and a lot of things that really gave me hope and, you know, concerning the election and things, and it didn't all really pan out. And I'm not here to debate that. Some of you are still saying it's still going to happen. It's okay. I'm not here to say it's not or it is or whatever. I'm not going to preach about that today, but I just want to say that I understand that there's things that have disheartened you and I. And you know, we look at the world and we wonder. I mean, you hear things like, it's just over. It's just done. We're done. And if you listen to that voice, you can almost think that we don't have a purpose anymore. And we do. I really feel that today the Lord wanted me to share a message of encouragement. I feel like God blessed me to do that. And I want us to use this time as maybe to sharpen our vision for 2021. I believe that God's church has, we have every bit as much a call, more maybe, today than we did at any time in history. When darkness is dark, we know what removes darkness, and that's light. We know that. And so we know that we have no reason to be discouraged. Even though we face times, we think about things, and we sometimes give into that, and we start thinking along those lines. And we can be angry, we can be frustrated, and we say, God, where are You? Why did You allow this to happen? What is going on? You know, we can think those things and question God. I want to start out with a scripture, and maybe you'll go back to this scripture later, but in Isaiah 55, when we question God in verse 8, when we question God and we say, God, why would You allow this to happen? We know that God has the ability to strike dead whom He will strike dead. He has the ability to appoint the king. He has the ability to make happen the president of the United States. And all these things. And sometimes things don't go the way we think they should. And we wonder, where are You, God? Let me tell you, God has this. Our God reigns. Our God is on the throne. Our God has not forsaken us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has not forsaken His children. In fact, His love is as deep for us today as it's ever been. And God's going to take us through. But let's be reminded how He is. It says, for My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways My ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts than your thoughts. See, man can have reasoning of how we think it should unfold and how we think it should be in the end times. And we have this plan and this idea. Like the young man that was here last Sunday said, he would like his life to be all written out in a book and just go by that. You know, and it really is in this book. But sometimes we get our ideas that we have it all figured out and it should go this way. And God says, My thoughts are not quite like your thoughts. My ways are not exactly like your ways. And He says, we're going to go a different direction. Just follow Me. Okay, then He goes on. He says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. Is that echo just going to be a part of my life today? Is it? I don't know. If it is, it's okay, but it's all right. I don't know what it is. Do y'all hear it? Is it kind of an echo? Anyway, it's okay. I'm not being critical, but I think that might be a little bit better. Did you do something? All right. Okay, let's try. It says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So, you know, God brings these things. He brings the rain. He makes the seed to germinate. God has laid it all out in His plan. Do we believe Him? Do we trust Him? It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." And I don't know about you, but in the past couple of weeks, I have not really sensed that the hills were breaking forth into the singing and the trees were not clapping their hands, but God's word is still true. Yes, amen. "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Do you believe that, saints? Do you believe that instead of the thorn, there's going to be something that is life-giving? Are we going to allow what the enemy thinks he is going to discourage us, going to bring us down, going to end our purpose? Our purpose is not ended. I so appreciate what you shared about. And I'll preach a little bit more about this. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do we believe that? Do we believe that we're part of a kingdom that is rolling, is moving, is coming? We're not going to be stopped unless we make a decision to stop. It's not God's heart that we stop His work. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Sometimes we're just not content to just receive our daily bread from our Father, are we? And we get upset and we listen to the roar of the enemy or the whisper of the accuser. We listen to all that garbage that he tries to fill our mind with and say, "Where's your God?" Our God still reigns. Our God is on the throne. And we will not be deterred because the man that we want for president isn't there today. I don't know how that's all going to unfold, but I trust God has got this situation. He says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus said to pray this way. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is not. Our enemy does not have the power to rule our life. He does not have the power to cause us to live our life in a sense of discouragement and to quit doing the work of the Lord. He doesn't have that power. My power, my joy, my strength is found in Christ. Beloved, maybe you're here today and you have never made a decision to follow Jesus. I would invite you to come to the source of joy, strength, power, and being. Life is in Christ. It's a really simple and a wonderful gospel. And it says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, the same shall be saved. You know, we look at it in different ways, and people that want followers, they sometimes have long-winded expressions and they go everywhere, and by the time you listen to the whole thing, you don't know what to do. Well, I will tell you, look unto Jesus. There you will find your source of joy and strength. What can we do to sharpen our vision and to remove distractions? There are many answers in God's words, and I've got to keep moving. I don't want to keep us late for lunch, but Matthew 6:31, he says, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Has anyone worried about the economy? Has anybody wondered if our good economy is going to collapse now that we don't have an economy-friendly president? I have. Have you wondered if you're going to pay more in taxes and you feel taxed to death already, that you might be paying more yet? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are we saints? Are we intentional about seeking first the kingdom of God? Do we sometimes have to come back and say, this is my purpose? You know, it is so important that I think that we stop from time to time. We just look at our life and say, what is my purpose in being? What is my purpose to my family, to my brothers and sisters in the church? What is my purpose in my neighborhood? What is my vision to make a difference? What is my vision to dispel the darkness with the light? Like we heard this morning, Brother Benjamin, we are to be looked at, and the world is to see Jesus. Everywhere the world turns, when they look at us, there is Jesus. And they'll be like the brother said, they turn his head away from that sign that said, repent or perish. And they look away from Jamin, and because they see Jesus and there's something happening. They look to Josh, and there's Jesus. Everywhere they look, they see Jesus. Whew. Is that our testimony? Is that my testimony? Everywhere they look, they see Jesus. I really believe that one of the big reasons we get frustrated, and I'm as bad as anyone, I bellyache about politicians all the time. It's a weakness I have. Pray for me. But I really don't believe that the moral slide is politicians' fault. It's just not. The moral slide is that the church has lost vision. What we're here for. As much as we bellyache, and I've done more than my share, we have got to have a vision in a church. We know that this kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are we sharp? Are we intentional about the vision for God's church? We have to be about the Father's business with intentionality. The left in this country, along with the enemy, they're intentional. Very, very, very intentional in their purpose and what they want to see accomplished. Are we intentional about accomplishing, fulfilling, walking, talking, preaching the kingdom of God and his purpose? We're in a war, but it's a war with a mission. And it's a war... It's a war that we already know how it's going to end. How many wars, when you're in the middle of the war, do they know that they're going to win? I mean, I'll guarantee you there's been wars where there was a lot of things happening where they weren't sure how it's going to end. But we already know. Well, you say, why fight then? Well, because there's a lot of souls that we need to bring through. We're in a war, but it's a war that we know how it ends. Like Brother Perry, you preached a couple weeks ago. You read the end of the book. You went to the end and you saw what's going to happen. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, teaching them. Have we been teaching them? It's amazing to me the opportunity that we have. And I speak to myself, how many times has somebody asked me, how are you doing today? And all I said was, good. I'm good. How about if we say, I am better than I deserve. Praise be to the Lord Jesus. I challenge all of us this week, when somebody asks you how you're doing, to not say good. It's the easy way out. I've done it. I've been in a hurry. How are you doing? I'm good. Are you good? How about you say, I am better than I deserve, thanks to the Lord Jesus, or say, I am blessed. How about that? The left is intentional. The enemy's intentional, but the people of God are just good. A lot of people say that. And I'm not here if you're shy and you can't do it, but I would challenge you, try one time this week, if somebody asks you how you're doing, to say, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. God is so good to me. Try just once. One time. And then maybe you'll do it again and again. And we'll start spreading the message of the good news of the gospel. When we're more than good, we have God in us, the hope of glory. Shall we be more aggressive in teaching and reaching out to the world around us? The media, schools, universities are all aggressive. And they're all intentional. They're going to tell you and your children and your grandchildren and the world around you lies over and over and over and over in hopes that one day you will embrace the lies and you'll receive it and it becomes a part of your life. How about we as the children of God tell the truth over and over and over and over again when the children are sleeping? That is a lovely little boy, ma'am. Wow. Miracle. Love it. Absolutely amazing. I got sidetracked. As babies are a miracle from God. But how about you tell that little boy from the time he's this big until the time he's grown and tell him the truth, the truth, the truth. So when he hears the lies, he knows the difference. He says, that's not true. Serena, and say, that's not true. Somebody told me that God did not create this with the spoken word. It's not true. Do our children know the truth? Do they know the difference between lies and the truth? They are intentional and they're aggressively trying to get us to believe lies. We're not going to go there. I'm not advocating aggressiveness in a way that is obnoxious and a turnoff, but starting by living this out. So I'd like to look first at some distractions. What keeps us from it? What keeps us from it when they wake up every morning? The enemy wakes up every morning and they plot how they're going to be aggressive in promoting darkness and lies. What is our plan? Do we have a plan? Is it to rush through our life and to hurry up and to make more money and to add to our earthly kingdom? Or do we have a plan? And I'd like to look first. We're going to look at some things that distract us. And I preach this to myself. I'm not here to be critical at anybody else. This is first to be preached to me, and that the Lord has convicted me. But it says in Hebrews 12:1, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He just got done going and talking about all the men and the people of faith. He says, so we're compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus, he endured that for what was ahead. Ahead. See, in the moment, right now, there are times when you don't feel blessed at all. You don't feel like a victor. You don't feel, when you sing victory in Jesus, like there is victory. You don't feel it. There are times and moments, but think what Jesus did on the cross. Do you think that he felt victorious when the nails went through his hands and his feet and the spear rent his side and blood and water gushed forth? Do you think Jesus felt victorious? I don't think he did. I think he felt like he was forsaken by his Father. But he did it for the joy that was set before him. How are you living your life? Are we living our life for momentary feelings that are good and for pleasure and for fulfillment and to get our way? Are we living it for the joy that is set before us when the end of our life comes and we look and we behold Jesus. What are weights that hinder you? What are weights that hinder me? One he said in this verse is sins. Are there sins in our life that beset us? Are there sins there that are hindering us having that connection with God? Are things that we have decided to embrace the lie of the enemy, that I'm just going to have to live with this. This is my thorn in the flesh. I've got to just know that's not true. There is no sin that is too great for Jesus to deliver you from. None. If we believe that, we believe a lie. It's not what the Scripture teaches. Do we have the faith to believe that Jesus can cleanse us from all unrighteousness and reconcile us to our Father? Maybe we have weights, relationship issues. Big problem in America. Relationship issues. We know what to do with relationship issues. We need to forgive. We need to talk things out and forgive some more. And then if we say, well, our feelings are not in alignment with my decision to forgive, then pray and ask God to bring your feelings into an alignment with your decision to forgive your brother. Relationship issues can be very heavy on our vision. God doesn't want us to drag these relationship issues with it. What in the world? If we buy into this, if we're as a church, as believers, all here believing in the Lord Jesus, allow relationship issues to hinder the work, that's sad. And I know it's heartbreaking to God. He does not want that. Those are some of the most basic, simple things in His Word, and yet they're some of the most hard things, is relationships. Some of the hardest things in life. What was it we heard preached last week? And only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. John 13, verse 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another, let us not get too drawn into the cares of this life that we cannot love one another. He says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. By your love that ye have one for another. I tell you what, I look sometimes at the way the left-wing media and the politicians stick together. I literally think that might be a stretch. I was going to say, I think they could murder in the streets and they'd still stick together. And they're the kingdom of darkness. How about the children of God love each other and stick together for the glory of God? How about we don't badmouth each other, we don't gossip, we don't slander each other, we quit criticizing each other for everything we disagree with, and we stick together as a body should. By your love, you have one to another. You know what? One of the big things for me to lose vision is cares of life. I get busy. And after all, who would turn down the opportunity to work more and make more money? You know, got to make hay while the sun shines. I wonder how many times I've said that in my life. 1,000? I don't know. But am I going to make hay my whole entire life? Mark 8:34, it says this. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. See, Jesus had pretty strong words about the generation in that time. He said they're adulterous and sinful. But he said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So it's a challenge for me to find that balance. Yeah, we got to pay the bills. We live in a society that we need money and we don't want to be freeloaders, and I appreciate that. But there's somewhere there's got to be enough. There's got to be a balance where you're not losing your vision for your purpose on earth, right? And you're able to. You know, God has a plan for that, and I'm not here to criticize you for working at all. I'm just saying we need to find the balance in that. We can't be distracted by always more, always one more, always this, always that. There's got to be that, along with that, that vision, the work of the Lord that he has for us. Do we know what it is? Do we know what it is? May God help us to live wisely and keep our debts to a minimum and our priorities correct. You know, I don't know how many times in my life where I've been tempted to just, you know, one more thing, maybe borrow money for that. Don't be distracted by that. You know, you can, if God wants us to have something, he wants us to do something. I'm not here to criticize you if you have debt or say that all debt is wrong, but just be real careful that you don't bog yourself down with loads of debt, with lots of cares and lots of debt. Don't bog yourself down where you justify not being in the vision, not being in the kingdom of God, because I got all this debt. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to pay this debt. Okay, let's stop amassing more debt. So, well, let's just be careful with this. That's all I want to say to that. But laying aside weights and having priorities for the kingdom, remembering that we are here to shine our lights, and as intentional as the other side of darkness is, to bring forth darkness and to infiltrate our children's little minds and hearts with lies, let's be even more intentional to shine light, the light of Jesus Christ, into their little hearts and minds. Let's be aware of what we dwell on. Let's be very aware of what we watch and what you let your children watch and listen to. Because if you put garbage in, I will guarantee you garbage will come out. You say, well, I'm an open-minded, level-headed person and I can really filter a lot of stuff. There are principles in the Bible that we as children of God should not allow darkness to go through us. It should not be allowed to come in and then we try to filter it out. Let's just be careful with that. Be careful who we associate with. And again, I believe that all souls are meant to be reconciled. And I am not against eating and drinking with a sinner, in the sense that our goal is to show them Jesus. But if it is association because it feels good to our flesh and we like having a good time and maybe sharing a few drinks and this and that and everything else, if that's your heart, I would really advise us to be careful of such associations. Just be real careful of what you have coming in. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time to, I'm not going to preach a prepper message today, but I do think that it's wise in days like we are in, and we do not know the future, and hard times could be coming real fast. I do think it is very wise, instead of spending your money on frivolous, fun, playful things, and I'm not putting that all away. You know, most of you know me and know that I do sometimes go on a trip and I do some things that are fun, but I think that you should be also aware of what is in your cupboard. You know, what if the whole thing shuts down overnight? Do you have enough food in your pantry to feed your family for 2 days, a week, a month? It doesn't hurt to have a bag of rice and some beans and some wheat. And again, I know this maybe doesn't sound real spiritual to some of you, but it doesn't hurt to kind of prepare for the future when we live in a day and age that we're in. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't make you necessarily more spiritual, but it's kind of wise in the day and age that we live in. And I think it's wise that we are aware of the times that we're in, and we worry and we try to keep our debts low and maybe be prepared for hard things. And again, I'm not advocating hoarding at all. I'm not going there. In fact, I believe that as children of God, what we have, if I have a bag of wheat or beans and things do go bad and my brother didn't get any, I'm going to share it with him. That's just the way it is. I mean, there is nothing in the scripture that says, well, you put this away just for you and your little loved ones as children of God, as family of God. We will share with each other when hard times come, but we will be together. But anyway, enough of that. That's not what I'm really preaching about. But I do think it's wisdom to take your debt low and be prepared for hard times, spiritually and physically. So I said a lot of things here about what not to do. Don't watch this. Don't listen to that. Don't go there. Don't have associations. Don't have a lot of debt. Don't do this. Don't be distracted. How about some things that we can do? As the church seeks vision for 2021, what can we do to be intentional? What can we do in Eureka, in Libby, in Trigo, Fortine? What can we do to bring light into that? How can we fight against what the enemy thinks he's going to win a victory? He's going to get another person to commit suicide or whatever. How can we fight against that? How can we bring a message of hope? How can we be intentional about that? How about we think of maybe five people that you can present the gospel to? And there are different ways to do this. Some people are just completely scared to talk, but maybe it's giving a tract. Maybe it's just doing an act of kindness. You say, five? That's scary. Okay, how about four or three or two or one? Okay, how about you just pick one person, and you pray about it. Said, God, who would you have me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with in 2021? Help me, Lord. And if God gives you a person, I would encourage you, before you forget, to write it down and show a sibling or a mother or father, say, God wants me to share the gospel with this person. Would you hold me accountable and help make sure that before December 31st, New Year's Eve rolls around, that I share the gospel with this person? There's a lot of people in here. How many? 100? 60? I don't know. I didn't count you. But let's say there's 60 people in here and we all share the gospel with somebody that doesn't know about Jesus. I think that's going to make an impact. How about we do that to five people each? That's 300 people that heard a message of hope. Perhaps you know five people that you're having relationship issues with. Five people that when you think about or you talk to somebody else about them, you don't have nice things to say. How about you make a decision this year? Some of those relationship issues are going to go away. Doesn't mean you're going to be best buds and be talking and celebrating on New Year's Day, but it means that in your heart, you've released them to God, not your burden anymore. Perhaps you know, and again, we're kind of getting into politics, but how about you contact five people in the political world and you write them a message of encouragement. You share a scripture with them. You write them a nice loving letter, not telling them they're stupid, but you tell them the truth in God's word. How about you do that to five people or one? See how this could, have you ever heard of the ripple effect? You throw a pebble out into the water and you see the ripples, they go out. There's an effect that happens. We can make a difference. We can absolutely make a difference in this corner of the world. How about we have maybe there's a neighbor that's lived 2 miles from you for 5 years or 10 years and you've never knocked on his door with a loaf of bread and a word of hope. You know somebody like that? Like, wow, he's an odd person. He doesn't look friendly. How about he meets Jesus? How about 2021, for the first time in his 75 years of existing in America, he meets Jesus through your loaf of bread and your smile and your love? How about it? You say, well, I'm scared to go over there. He's a scary guy. Take two or three people with you. And all love him. I know some young people this week that out of the random act of their heart, they went and bought this person stuff that they know she liked and went and knocked on her door and they just gave it to her. Is that love? Wow. That makes a difference. That person will never forget that as long as she lives. Random acts of kindness. Romans 12, I need to be wrapping this up. Oh, bear with me. Say a prayer for me. Romans 12, verse 9. I think I'm going to cut a little bit out of this. I had too many scriptures, maybe. I'm going to go to verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. I had to look that up. What is dissimulation? Feigning or fake or hypocrisy? Don't just say, I love you, when there's really no love. It's a sense of duty versus Jesus flowing out of your life. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Do we abhor that which is evil? How's our view? How is our view on abortion? How is our view on gay marriage? Are we evolving with the world? We dare not. We cannot evolve with the world. We see politicians evolving in their views. We can't do that. Church, we are called to a higher standard in that. We don't evolve. We don't say because even if 99% of America says something that is sinful is right and the Bible says it's wrong, it's still wrong and we abhor it. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I think he's saying everything in this passage of Scripture that I'm saying today, pretty much. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Wow. Given to hospitality. I know some of you are. Wow. Given to hospitality. Have our neighbors ever seen the inside of our home? Do they know what's in there? Do they know that Jesus lives there? Do they know what I believe? Do they know that I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has died to save mankind? Do they know? Say, well, they're Canadians. They're not really here to be neighbors. Huh? Canadians need saved too. We have a lot of them here, in case you wonder why that factors in. I've appreciated the Canadians a lot for my business. It made me a lot of money, but how many of them have I presented the gospel to? Have they ever seen the inside of my house? Have they ever tasted my wife and daughter's delicious bread and had a note in that bag about Jesus? They're searching, just like all of us searched. They want to know the truth. Many people in this country consume volumes of alcohol, volumes of it, gallons and jugs and bottles and volumes. Trying to fulfill something. Trying to look for something to fill the void. Have they seen Jesus? How about as a family effort that we purpose this week to do one random act of kindness to someone in the Northwest? One random act of them to see Jesus. Maybe even some of your own church people. How about we do that with intentionality? When you know the brother's discouraged about the election, he's discouraged that Biden is our president, and, you know, I know, again, I don't want to argue, I'm not, you know, it's what it looks like on the outside, and I know some of you have different things to think about it. That's okay. I shouldn't even brought that up again, but you know that somebody's discouraged, And they're down about this, and they're just not sure about. How about you encourage them? Give them a word of encouragement. God made us in His image. He did. What is a characteristic that we would all agree that God is? God is love. The presence of Jesus. The desire. You know, I don't know of anything that takes away the desire for sin more than being in the presence of the Lord. There's nothing. You say, well, you can know all the correct theology and maybe you know all the Word of God by heart, but if you're not in the presence of Jesus, there's nothing that drives away the desire for sin than being in His sweet presence. Perhaps we're weary. We wish that we had one bad habit that was gone. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's tobacco. Maybe it's swearing. Maybe it's, you know, there's a porn plague in this nation. Maybe it's that. I hope none of us has that plague in our life. Maybe so. Maybe you're like I am and you can't help yourself trying to correct liberals. No, it's not going to work. Liberal might need Jesus, but just telling him my other view of the political spectrum is not going to bring Jesus into his heart. How about instead if I tell him how dumb his thinking is politically, I tell him about Jesus? Maybe we can seek the Lord this year and, you know, where He would have us to go. Maybe He has a short-term mission trip for us, maybe long-term. But pray about that and see what God would have us in here in Lakeside Christian Church. Maybe He wants us to go somewhere into some corner of the world and present the gospel. God has a plan for us. The election, the results, whether finished or not, do not need to steal your joy. They do not need to get us to forget about what our vision is. There's a vision, there's purpose, there's intentionality that God wants us to live our life. We cannot wait for Him to fix that in D.C. We can't wait on that. We have to be about the Father's business now, today, with intentionality. Knowing that God will one day, He has won this war. In Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11, he says that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And in Romans verse 14, and chapter 14, verse 11, he says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Every single knee will bow before and they will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow and you will and they will acknowledge that sin is sin and it separates from God. And every knee will bow in recognition of Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. They will acknowledge that. See, we don't have to be consumed with seeking vengeance and bringing justice because God is going to do that. Whether you want to or not, whether we think that we will or we won't, the Word of God says every knee shall bow and they're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And in the meantime, let us fight. Let us shine light. Let us realize that the book says we're going to win in the end. In the meantime, let's bring everybody along with us that we possibly can. Let's drag them if we have to. Let's bring them. Share the gospel. Say, instead of just saying, I'm good and stomping on in haste, let's bring forth light. Let's say, I am blessed because of Jesus. He changed my life. He set me free. Do you want to know more about Him? I know it's a lot easier for me to preach than it is to do it. I understand that. But could you agree with me that we want to make an impact? We want to make a difference. We want to in our own little way. And maybe you're here today and you say, I don't even know Jesus. I would invite you today to kneel at the cross and receive Him. If I could get one more scripture in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 9, 22 says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." He said, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." So run that ye may obtain. Are you running? Are you in this race? Are you fighting in this war? Or have you just went into self-preservation mode and said, "All I care about is my family and my grandbabies, and I don't care. I'm just going to preserve them and tell them the truth"? Are you willing to go, as he said, to all the world and preach the gospel? If you are in self-preservation mode, you are just concerned about your own family. You've got 20 bags of wheat and beans and silver and everything else in your closet, and you're just going to preserve yourself and wait for Jesus. Are you in this war? Are we running this race? Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know, sometimes there's things in this earth that we go after, and it's simply to get a plaque on the wall, some kind of an earthly crown that's going to burn. But when we do these things for God and we tell them, we bring other souls into the kingdom, when we have a vision for the church, when we work together and we bring people that are mired in their sin and are separated from God and with the help of the Lord Jesus into the kingdom, these are crowns that are incorruptible, that are never going to go away. Treasure in heaven. "I therefore run, so not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So may everywhere in our world that we go, again, everywhere that our neighborhood turns and they see us, there is Jesus. And they look over to this brother, there was Jesus. And they come into this home, and there was Jesus. And they receive a loaf of bread, and there was Jesus. And they receive a random act of kindness, and they met Jesus. Will you, brothers and sisters, will you be a part of that kingdom? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Will you believe that you're a part of a kingdom that today is being fulfilled? Today it's going on. Today is the day that God wants us to step out of our comfort zone, our self-preservation mode, and he wants us to reach out. He wants us to, when we're out in the world and we're doing our work and our business, everywhere they look, there was Jesus. You see, right now, forces of darkness, everywhere you turn, from the billboards to the television screen to the smartphone to the movies, even Disney, everywhere you look, there was darkness. They're bringing it forth with a bombardment, an onslaught of Satan like you've never seen. You cannot even imagine. Everywhere you look, their darkness is being pushed on us. May God's church arise. And everywhere that our neighborhood looks, they see Jesus. Everywhere they look, they see kindness. Everywhere they look, they see the hands and feet of Jesus. It's not trying to save ourselves. We know that we're saved by the work of the cross. But when we're saved, out of us shall flow rivers of living water. Out of us shall flow these acts of kindness. Out of this shall stop me trying to correct everybody politically and telling them about Jesus. Out of that, I pray that God would help us to sharpen our vision. Brothers, if you've got something that God lays on your heart, maybe it's to go to Libya and visit people in jail. I don't know. Maybe it's to go to Kalispell. There's opportunity. There's no limit of how many brothers can go to the Kalispell jail and minister there on, what is it, Monday nights? Monday nights. You can go there and spend 30 minutes and preach. Maybe you felt called to be a preacher. I'll tell you where you can go to preach. Go to the Kalispell jail for 30 minutes and preach your heart out. Love on those men. They'll come. I don't think we've ever went there. Have you, Josh, ever went there where you did not get somebody to minister to? Have you? I've not seen that. Did it discourage you one time? Are you never going to go again? Because, no. You keep going and you preach and you love them. There are so many things that God can help us to do. And my burden is this morning that everywhere that the world looks, in every direction, and one of us as children of God is seen, that they see Jesus. And I have a song that I'd like you to play, and let's just maybe be reverent before the Lord. I'm not asking you to come to the altar, but maybe just bow your head and let God speak to you and how he wants you to be Jesus this year. Maybe he'll lay something on your heart that, you know, he's asking you to forgive somebody in your past. Or maybe he's for the first time in your life inviting you to come to the cross and receive Jesus. Not by your works, but just in faith, like I said, just in faith, receiving him for the first time in your entire life where you know that Jesus. Can you guys play that? And after that song, we'll turn the time over to Brother Dennis. And I really appreciate all of you being here and just wish you all the most rich and wonderful blessing of God. I know he has a plan for every one of us. And the devil and the darkness will not thwart it. If we look unto Jesus, he will carry us through. May God bless you.
Every time I try to make it on my, every time I try to stand, start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. In the way, and in the searching, in the healing, blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. So this man, so I thank God every day. Well, there was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
In the way, in the searching, in the healing of my heart, like a blessing buried in broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the fire, in the floods,
there was Jesus.
Always is and always was.
Jesus.